Welcome to Advent at Advent. May the Lord's peace be with us all.
The Lord is our faith and our life.
May his love shine in our hearts.
Our hope is in coming to the Lord.
But you, O Bethlehem, who are little to be among the clans of Judah, from whom shall come forth for me one who is the ruler in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient days. The second candle we light on the Advent wreath has been named the Bethlehem candle, a symbol of the preparations made to receive and cradle the Christ child. May our hearts be made ready to receive the good news.
Let us pray that we may experience fully the peace of Christ.
Father in heaven, the day draws near when the birth of your Son will make radiant the night of the waiting world. May his quiet coming fill us with true inner peace. Amen. O Prince of Peace, gentle Savior, come. Descend to us as once you entered them.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first reading for this second Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. Though hope may seem as dead as a short-term tree stump, God promises that he will cultivate a new shoot of green life and leaf to rise and transform into a mighty, life-giving tree for all nations. A reading from Isaiah. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Today's psalm is Psalm 72 on page 3 in the bulletin. Let's read together in unison. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son, that he may rule your people righteously and the poor with justice, that the mountains may bring prosperity to the people and the little hills bring righteousness. He shall defend the needy among the people. He shall rescue the poor and crush the oppressor. He shall live as long as the sun and moon endure from one generation to another. He shall come down like rain upon the mown field, like showers that water the earth. In his name shall the righteous flourish. There shall be abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more. He shall rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The second lesson is from the book of Romans, chapter 15. Jesus Christ himself is revealed as the new green shoot which grows out of the hopeless, dead stump. As children of God, all are invited to be grafted into this life-giving tree. Romans 15, verses 4 to 13. For everything that was, which was in the past, was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing hymns to your name. Again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one will arise to rule over the nations, the Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of the Lord according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Christ.
The readings that we shared just earlier tie in just perfectly with the gospel that I'll be sharing. We heard about the promise in Isaiah that is going to be fulfilled when Jesus comes, and even the one John the Baptist, who I will be reading about, was confirmed as the one in the voice crying in the wilderness. And then in the final reading from Romans, it says that Gentiles, which is us, we get to be tied in to the one that grows out of the stump of Jesse, of Jesse's rod, which is Christ. That because of the fact that the door has been opened to us, we get to participate in the provision that the Lord made through the people of Israel. It's an amazing story. So here we read in Matthew 3, 1 through 12 about John the Baptist. Now in those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet, when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Stop just for a second. Locusts and wild honey. I was reading about that this week, that the theory is he ate dried locusts, and to help them go down a bit, he coated them with wild honey. Really, not just a Spartan diet, but a survival diet. Then I begin again in verse 5. Then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, now, stopping again, we are the Pharisees and Sadducees of the day. So that's why this message is really important to us. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the tree, and therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. This morning I want to speak to you out of the gospel, and just the very last verse that I read, which is verse 12, speaking about the role of the Messiah. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. want you to think about two words today, purpose and preparation. Purpose and preparation. When John the Baptist came, he was in fulfillment of centuries-old prophecies, but he was speaking to the religious people of his day, especially the religious leaders who had come after they'd heard about what he was doing at the Jordan River to also join in his baptism of repentance. Now, of course, this isn't Christian baptism, but it's a baptism of preparation. And in John's day, it was really unusual. It wasn't something that was typically done. When you would offer sacrifices at the temple, there would be a cleansing, sort of like what happens when we prepare the elements that my hands are cleansed. And sometimes I believe Altar Guild puts ice cubes in that little basin of water. Not really. But just cleansing, not really this type of baptism. John had a very clear purpose. Moses had three periods of his life of 40 years. John had a very narrow, defined time of service and purpose, and it was to be the voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the pathway of the Lord. And he fulfilled that in an amazing way. He was the last prophet of the old covenant. And now a new covenant in Jesus was beginning with a new gifting, a new promise, a new provision that was transformational. So John was at the very end. There were 400 years of silence after Malachi. Now John the Baptist announces the Messiah. And it's interesting. He's spoken of in all four Gospels, so you know that his role is very important. Purpose and preparation. He had a purpose, and his purpose was to prepare the people for the fulfillment of what had been spoken all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And now it comes to this, and the question is to the people, are you ready for what God is about to do? And when you think about the whole revelation after Jesus' life, death, and resurrection in the 70s, the temple was destroyed because there was no need for that place of sacrifice to be made anymore because Jesus had come and offered the ultimate sacrifice. And so here's what I'd like you to think about, first of all, in terms of purpose and your preparation. Sometimes we can wonder, is God really in control? Is he really involved? Centuries before, the Messiah would come, and yet Jerusalem was deported, was destroyed and deported. Assyria, Babylon came and took the people of God. The temple was rebuilt in the days of Haggai, but never at all like it was in the glory days of Solomon. God, are you still in control? Do you still care? Are there times in your life that you think that when you look at it feels as though things are falling apart? We look at our world today, what is in the news from Pearl Harbor and from Pensacola, and we can ask sometimes, God, are you really in control? Do you still have these things in your hand? God, am I still in your hand? And John the Baptist's message was, be prepared, a new day is coming. His two words were to repent and be baptized. And then he pointed to the one who was to come. And he's the one whose winnowing fork is in his hand. But just before we talk about that, I want you to think about the fact that John said, I have good news and bad news. The good news is prophecy is about to be fulfilled. The bad news is you can't keep living the way that you've been living. It's sort of like a lady, Brenda, who phoned her husband in the middle of the workday for a chat, and she wanted to tell him something, and he said, sweetie, I don't really have time for this, I'm busy. And she said, well, I have good news and bad news. And he said, all right, please, sweetie, just give me the good news. Okay, the good news is, well, you'll be happy to know that the airbags on our new car work perfectly. The gospel has good news. John the Baptist proclaimed good news. The bad news is, we can't, to the religious people of the day, which is us, you can't live based on the past. You have to live on the new thing that God is doing in your life today. The gospel brings good news. We all need it. The good news is that Jesus bridges the gap between what was and what is to come. When Dick read about the wolf lying down with the lamb, you know that we're not living in that day. That is when everything is restored. It will, the world will be like that. That may also have been a picture of what it was intended to be in the Garden of Eden. It certainly isn't that way today. Today, the sheep is the meal for the wolf. And we see that in many different ways in our world. But purpose and preparation. John the Baptist had a purpose. It was to prepare the people. In spite of what you see in the world, we have purpose in our lives to fulfill. And we're also called to prepare, to make straight paths for what the Lord is doing in our lives and in the world. I want you to picture the winnowing fork. This, to me, this is a tool that we don't think of much today. It's the closest that we have in our world would be a pitchfork. I was going to bring one from the garage today, but I thought I might intimidate you, so I'm just going to picture it for you. The concept was that if you were a farmer, you would have a large dry area of ground in the field after the harvest where you would put everything that you have cut down. And then you would use a winnowing fork. In some places in Scripture, it's called a fan. Remember when Ruth went into the field to glean, there was a time when Boaz was winnowing the harvest. And it's where you take this pitchfork-like thing that you toss the grain up in the air. What isn't grain is carried away by the wind, and grain will fall onto the dry, hard ground. And there would be many times in which the farmer would do that until all that was left is simply the grain of wheat. And John the Baptist is saying about the Messiah that he is coming and he's going to do that. He's going to separate out in the lives of his people that which is worthless from that which is of value. And to me, that's a part of what is so relevant for today. Are you living in a way that you are depending on worthless chaff rather than the core of wheat, which is life transforming? It's such an important thing to grasp. Chaff can get in the way of reality and health in our lives. Chaff for you and I can be things like possibly disappointment in life with how things are unfolding. Chaff can be things like, I have a concern for the future. I know, God, that you've provided up till today, but I'm not sure about tomorrow. And so that can be chaff, that I have fear and concern. God, what about my health? Am I declining? And then I say back to him, well, I was in the hospital. I had a stroke that was in a TIA that then was nothing. You took care of me then. Will you take care of me in the future, though? And sometimes we deal with God like that. And that is chaff, because he has promised that he would guard and keep us until that day, that even the days of our lives were written in his book before there was one of them in Psalm 139. Chaff can be things like unresolved hostility and regret, even regret over what has happened in the past that we can't let go of. I get my pulse racing sometimes when I think about what was done to me in the past. Ever been that way? That's chaff. And the Messiah comes, throws that up in the air to blow away things that would separate you from the truth that Jesus wants in your life, which is salvation through him, not by what you can do for yourself. So it's a time in which, as We're in this season of Advent where we want to rediscover our purpose and prepare for what God has for the next phase of our life. We don't know what that is, but John's chief word was repent, which means to change the way you think and change the direction of your life. Sometimes we need to do that. There was a time in which two old country pastors wanted to help what was happening in their community. And so they decided on this small country road to put up two signs, to hold two signs. And one guy on one side of the road held up a sign that said, "The end is near." And his fellow old pastor on the other side of the road held up a sign that said, "Turn back before it's too late." And a few minutes later, a car whizzed by and the driver rolled down his window and said, "You religious nuts, would you just get out of my way?" And he continued on, and a few moments later, the two pastors heard the screeching of wheels as brakes were applied, and then a gigantic splash. And one old pastor turned to the other and said, "Do you suppose the sign should have just said, bridge out?" Repent. Change the way you're thinking. Turn around. Don't continue in the way that you're going. I was reading this week a little more in depth about John the Baptist. And in the book of Luke, chapter 3, people were repenting and baptizing and then asking questions. "John, what do I do now?" Listen to this. The crowd was questioning him, saying, "Then what shall we do?" And he would answer and say to them, "The man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none. He who has food is to do likewise." Some tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what you have been ordered to collect." Some soldiers were questioning him, saying, "And what about us? What shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not take money from anyone by force, or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages." Simply do the right thing. Do what you have been taught. I was reading also in the book of Matthew, in chapter 4, the very first recorded words of Jesus' public ministry were, "Repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand." And repent for us means change the way we're thinking as the religious people of our day, turn away from depending on ritual and the past, and depend on who Jesus is in our lives today. It changes everything. The fact that the word of salvation came through the Jews, and because of some lack of obedience, the door of salvation was opened up to us Gentiles, we ought to very carefully respect and with joy receive what has been promised for us. We heard it in the Old Testament. It was confirmed in the book of Romans. We have purpose in our lives. We are being prepared not to go into irrelevance, but to continue to make a difference by the way that we live. Make his path straight. By the way that you and I live, we are demonstrating to other people what it means to follow Jesus, even through dark times. Here's how I deal with fear in my life. I look at the news, I don't understand what's happening, but I have a trust in a merciful God who will guard and keep us even through adversity. That is preparing a way for others to see there are alternatives to what the culture provides. And that's who we are. We are people with a purpose, with a call to prepare, to demonstrate to others what it means to follow Jesus with our whole heart and with our whole lives. So I encourage you during this season of Advent to make straight paths in your own life, to do what's right. This was last week on Black Friday. I took my family out for a movie. It's a tradition. And they chose an animated film called Frozen 2. And one of the things that was said in Frozen 2 was, when you don't know what to do, just do the next right thing. And that's kind of a Christian thing. You're not sure what to do, just do the next right thing. I have two tunics, I'll share one. I'm a tax collector. I'm just going to collect what I was told to do. I'm a soldier. I'm not going to intimidate anyone. I'm just going to seek to maintain order, not to my own advantage. To me, that it's so simple, and yet it's what the religious leaders of that day basically said. It's too simple. You need to depend on us. When in the New Testament, the revelation of Jesus is, we are a kingdom of priests. We're all to serve God in an intimate relationship. It's a wonderful thing. And we are demonstrating that in the lives of others. Let's stop there, stand together, and share our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. And as you do that, my hope is that this really is your confession, that you believe what we can say together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people this morning are Form 5 from the Book of Common Prayer, page 6 in our bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Church of God, that it may be filled with truth and love and be found without fault at the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops Hollingsworth and Love, for all bishops and other ministers, especially Pastor Paul, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease, and that all may be one as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the Church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in positions of public trust, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person, We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected. And we pray especially for those on our Advent prayer list. We pray for Ed and Lillian. We pray for Bob. We pray for Barb Frank, Michael Ulrich, Bill and Judy, Irv, Marilyn, Karen and Lois, Sharon, Steve and Sue, Joan, Velta, Rose, Art Beal, George, Dave. Pray for Tony, for the Eliza Jennings residents that we will visit tomorrow, for Ed and Sylvia, for Trevor, for Ken and Jim, for Richard, for Jack. And Lord, we especially pray for Mary Lou Dixon, who will have 3 heart valves replaced tomorrow and a bypass operation starting at 8 o'clock in the morning.
And Lord, we give you thanks for the healing of Paul, our leader and our minister, and we thank you for restoring him to life again, Lord Jesus, as he preaches the word for this congregation. We thank you and praise your holy name.
If there are other prayers that you'd like to lift up now, either aloud or silently, let's take a moment for those. Lord God, we give you thanks for this Advent time, this time to consider our sinfulness, as Paul said, to understand our purpose and to prepare for your coming. Fill our hearts with hope, fill our hearts with peace, fill our hearts with joy, fill our hearts with love as we look forward expectantly to your return. Lord, we pray for this congregation, for those who are present and for those who are absent, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, friends, and neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy, peace, and health, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray for all who have died in the communion of your church, and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our God.
to you, O Lord our God.
And let's close in unison with this prayer. O Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement that you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now with one another.
So I think Pete has a couple of announcements.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A couple things. Gentlemen of Advent, we gather tomorrow night at Mulligan's in Avon. There is a typo error in the bulletin. The address, the correct address, and it's my fault, is 38244 Colorado Avenue. Mulligan's is located off of I-90 on Route 611 in Avon. So the address that you have in your bulletin is incorrect. So we'll hopefully not gather at some poor person's house tomorrow night at 6:30. Secondly, if in your gatherings in the Christmas season, if you've got nothing better to do on a Friday night, then I invite you to come hear my Pioneer Ridge Glee Club concert, which is this Friday night at 7 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Elyria, which is at 312 3rd Street. It's at 7 o'clock. The cost is $5, which pays for our risers and musical instruments and whatnot, our music and our oxygen. We are a group of 55 and older singers, most of which are over 55, well over 55, me included. We sing traditional Christmas songs. We sing contemporary Christmas songs, a big mixture. One of the big features we have is singing Jingle Bells to the Nutcracker Suite, which is not easy. Another one is a song, it's a festive melody, which is very quick, called Fa La 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 La. It's a simple phrase, Fa La 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 La. It's taken us 2 months to say Fa La 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 to the music because of the quick tempo, and we're 55 and older. So, again, it's 7 o'clock on this Friday night at the First United Methodist Church in Elyria. Thank you.
Good. Thanks, Pete. So there's an announcement in the bulletin regarding Christmas Eve. It'll be at 9 o'clock, candlelight service. We invite you to mark your calendars and invite your family and friends and join us for that night before Christmas. And finally, I'm pleased to announce that we have now arranged a visitation for Bishop Love. Bev prayed for him during our prayer time. Bishop Love will be joining us on Sunday, March 15th, for confirmation, for baptisms. So again, please mark your calendar for that. He will be having a House of Bishops meeting in Houston preceding that date. And so he'll be flying home to Albany from Houston by way of Cleveland. So we're pleased to have Bishop Love now on the schedule, and the confirmation classes will be wrapped up by then, so it'll be good timing. Peace be with you. And yes, there will be someone to pray with you and back during communion.
Without musical accompaniment, I would like to say to Peter, well, fa-la-la. We continue our service by presenting our offering to the Lord. We continue with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks for grace.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because you sent your beloved Son to redeem us from sin and death, and to make us heirs in him of everlasting life, that when he shall come again in power and great triumph to judge the world, we may without shame or fear rejoice to behold his appearing. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your words spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in the last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. And we remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, please join with me. We remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray, gracious Father, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and of the blood of his new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Now please join with me as we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God are given to the people of God. I invite you to come in faith and receive.
Thank you.
Please join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The blessing this morning is from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Amen.
Thank you.
Folks, appreciate the day the Lord has given us as you go in peace to serve him.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.
Make way the way designed.